So I recently attended a conference for children's leaders. And at this conference, there was a man named Michael Novelli that spoke. He led a workshop. If you've heard of him, you may know that he's a pastor and a curriculum writer. And he was sharing about his journey of helping his students fall in love with the Word of God. And he talked about how he loves to take scripture and retell the story in a way that gets your imagination involved. So to help us use our imagination this morning, we're going to use some imagery that will unfold as we work our way through the story. So our first image looks a little chaotic, huh? So it has secondary colors. Does anyone know what our secondary colors are? Noah? Very good, yeah. So our combinations of our primary colors make our secondary colors. So on this painting, we have chaos. Okay, it's going to represent chaos for us this morning. Michael Novelli told this story of Genesis 1 and 2. It's the creation story. You may have heard it before. As he began the story, he talked about how God stepped into the chaotic mass and began to bring order. The Hebrew word for this formlessness and void is tohu vabohu. It describes a chaos or something that's undefined. So as you may notice, Becca is up here. She is going to be working on one of our paintings this morning that we'll look at later on. So this painting right here reminds me a little bit of what my Friday night looked like. Friday night, my cousins from Oklahoma City came to town, and my cousins that live here came over. We were all going to have dinner together. There were six kids, seven adults, I think, and we were all in the house just hanging out. I was sitting on the couch attempting to do homework. We had six little kids with us. So we started out with three little girls in the basement playing. And then we had the basement in the living room with us. We had shoes strung out across. We had a checkerboard in the study. We had a cousin trying to take a nap before work. We had another cousin sitting in a chair talking to someone. We had three people in the kitchen that were cooking. And at one point, my uncle yells, "Feels like I'm a part of my big fat Greek wedding in here." These lines were undefined, and they were chaotic. In this next image, we see defining lines that are bringing order. We've pulled out the primary colors from the secondary colors. The primary colors have space between. They're not touching. When God said, "Let there be light," he began the defining of the chaos. This simple act set a new thing into motion. The undefined line suddenly began to be defined. So back to our story for dinner. So we have things going on all around me. All I needed to write was two paragraphs for this homework assignment. It took me like 45 minutes to write these two paragraphs because everywhere I looked, there was chaos. But we were called to the table. Everyone came, they sat. One of my cousins and I filled up glasses of, we just figured out what everyone wanted to drink. We sat down together. And then my uncle said, "Let's pray." And peace just fell over our table. Everyone held hands. We talked to Jesus. And it was like the chaos had never even happened. If you're familiar with the stories of the Bible, the story of creation may be one of the earliest stories that you've heard. As the land and sky were separated, the land mass was formed and animals began to fill the land, God was setting the world in order. We read towards the end of the narrative that God created humans. You may have heard of Adam and Eve. They were given instruction to care for what God created. He cherished them. He wanted what was best for them. and he told them not to do something. Does anybody remember what they weren't supposed to do? Yes, Anya? You're right. They weren't supposed to eat from a certain tree. Did they eat from that tree? Yeah, they did. So they disobeyed what God had asked them to do. So as we have order here in this painting, we see that whenever sin enters, the chaos returns. So we move back to this painting. The primary colors get blended back together. The secondary colors take root. The chaos and the blurred lines are seen all throughout the Old Testament. We see stories of brokenness and disobedience and confusion. And one story that comes to my mind is the Israelites. There's so many pieces to this story, but one piece that's very prominent to me is that no matter how many times the Lord offered a defining line of order, they still made their way back to a place of chaos. They forgot that the Lord, their creator, was the one that was leading them. It's not until Christ comes that we begin to see the chaos make a shift back into order. Jesus assumed the chaotic, unorderly flesh of humanity, and his love for us was so deep that he was willing to live like us. So I'd invite you to close your eyes for a second as I read Hebrews 2, 14 through 17. Since the children are made of flesh and blood, it's logical that the Savior took on flesh and blood in order to rescue them by his death. By embracing death, taking it on himself, he destroyed the devil's hold on death and freed all who cower through life, scared to death of death. It's obvious, of course, that he didn't go to all this trouble for angels. It was for people like us, children of Abraham. That's why he had to enter into every detail of human life. Then when he came before God as high priest to get rid of the people's sins, he would have already experienced it all himself. All the pain, all the testing, and would be able to help where help was needed. You can open your eyes. When Jesus assumes this chaotic, unorderly flesh of humanity, he begins to define the blurred lines that have been in humanity since sin entered into our story. Jesus does this in many situations throughout his life. For one example, we see in John 4, 9 through 10, it's the story of the Samaritan woman at the well. The scripture reads, "The Samaritan woman, taken aback, asked, 'How come you, a Jew, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink?'" You see, Jews in those days would not be caught dead talking to Samaritans. Jesus answered, "If you knew the generosity of God and who I am, you would be asking me for a drink, and I would give you fresh, living water." Jesus shouldn't have even been talking to this woman, let alone offering her fresh, living water. But throughout this whole encounter, Jesus offers her the opportunity to begin a life that would define the blurred lines in the way that she's currently living. Another way that we see this in Jesus's life is the story of when he's flipping the tables in the temple. Matthew 21, 12 through 15 reads, "Jesus entered the temple and began to drive out all the people buying and selling animals for sacrifice. He knocked over the tables of the money changers and the chairs of those selling doves. He said to them, 'The scriptures declare, my temple will be called a house of prayer, but you have turned it into a den of thieves.' The blind and the lame came to him in the temple, and he healed them. The leading priests and the teachers of religious law saw these wonderful miracles, and they even heard the children in the temple shouting, "Praise God for the Son of David." As the scripture says, the line had been declared many years ago. Though just as we talked about earlier, when sin enters into our story, we begin having a harder time navigating through the blurred lines. Jesus reminds us of these defined lines and brings order back to the temple. Another place that we see this is when Jesus calms the storm. Mark 4:35 through 41 reads, "That day when evening came, he came to his disciples, and he said, 'Let us go over to the other side.' Leaving the crowd behind, they took him along just as he was in the boat. There were also other boats with him. A furious squall came up, and the waves broke over the boat, so it was nearly swamped. Jesus was in the stern sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke him and said to him, 'Teacher, don't you care if we drown?' He got up. He rebuked the wind and said to the waves, 'Quiet, be still.' The wind died down, and it was completely calm. He said to his disciples, 'Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?' They were terrified and asked each other, 'Who is this that even the wind and the waves obey him?'" The boundary of the wind and the waves were chaotic and undefined. Jesus declares the boundary, the defining line, and the waves and the wind find themselves restored to a place of order. Just like the call to prayer brought peace among our family of 12 on Friday night, Jesus' words bring a defined line. These are only a few examples of where we see Jesus doing the work of unblurring the lines and bringing order to the chaos. Through Christ's life, death, resurrection, and ascension, he brings order. The Holy Spirit that dwells among us, given to us as a gift from the Father, is inviting us into the story of unblurring the lines and bringing order out of chaos. May we be good stewards of this gift and join in the kingdom work of letting the Spirit work through us and in us to unblur the lines of chaos and bring restoration of order. Becca, is the last one done? Okay. Thanks. Okay. So here's our last painting. As you can see, in the middle, we have purple. It's a secondary color that we use to define chaos. The secondary color fades out into the two primary colors that are making it up. This represents that Jesus' assuming of human flesh began the work of bringing order through unblurring the lines of chaos. And the Holy Spirit is at work through us to continue the work of bringing order until the day that the original order is completely restored through Christ's return. This week, as one of my cousins have come to town. Hold on. Oh, that one's wet too. All right. Just go back over here. Tanner, it's a little dirty. Sorry. So my cousin walked into the house singing this song this week, and it's just taken root in my heart and in my mind. And as I was preparing this morning, as I was preparing for this morning, I just kept hearing this song play through my head. So I asked him if he would come and lead us in this song this morning. As he leads in this song, I would invite you to find a posture of listening and soaking in the words. Whether that be with your eyes closed, with your head bowed, with your eyes open, sitting, standing, kneeling, whatever that looks like for you, I would just invite you to take that posture and feel free to sing along with us if you'd like.